Cape Talk, Pippa's Planet.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have Kirsten Bosch, horticulturist Charisse Viljoen with us, and it's her last session for the season, as it were. She will be back in the new year, but for now, Charisse, welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
We've got a couple of suggestions for holiday maintenance of the garden. Obviously, we keep the focus very much on water-wise gardening today, but you are welcome to phone us with your questions on 021-446-0567. Charisse, a lot of people going away, and many of them probably leaving this afternoon or tomorrow morning, and it's obviously a difficult one because you want to keep your garden going while you're away, but water is the big issue this year. Any advice for people who are leaving their garden behind?
Sure, it's very simple advice, but if you pack mulch, a really heavy layer of mulch across the garden, so it does mean a hard day of gardening before you go, and you can use leaf litter or compost, and then within that mulch you make little wells, little semicircles around each plant. So whatever water does happen to land, hopefully from the sky, it really penetrates and goes towards the plant's roots. So, and a very good deep watering with non-potable water before you go with the mulch, and then you just hope for the best.
You've got a little tip, though, to help us along involving the recycling of plastic water bottles.
Yeah, for general deep watering, people are really struggling to get water down to the roots of their plants because they're not allowed to water for very long. Even if they have non-potable water, we're still trying to all be very good and follow the restrictions and limit our time. And so what you find is you're encouraging shallow roots. So what you do is you take a 2 liter or 750 ml plastic bottle, so you're recycling at the same time, and you can either, depending how quickly you want the water to run out, cut slits in the side, or if you want it to stay a little longer, poke holes in the bottom, and then you plant that alongside your precious shrub where you really are trying to get the water down to the roots, and then you fill the bottle up and it slowly dispenses the water at the root zone much deeper than when you're throwing your bucket of water on top of the plant. I find that sometimes I'm really being really kind of lazy. I'm kind of sloshing masses of water out on an area, and I'm, you know, my plants are bent flat by the time I'm done if I'm in a hurry. This way you do need to put the bucket down and use a jug or something to dispense into the bottles, and sometimes you can cut the tops of the bottles off for just easier filling. But it is the most fantastic way of getting the water down to the roots rather than it kind of dissipating at the top layer and then evaporating. And if you bury it deep enough, it hardly looks unsightly.
So it's just got the little neck sticking out the top for you to pour into. Great.
Exactly.
That's an absolute win-win. So helping the water gets where it needs to be, more targeted, and recycling plastic bottles. Like it a lot. Okay, the first question's already through on the WhatsApp line, asking the following. On a hot day like this, when is the best time to water your garden? Because I would like to water most efficiently. Obviously with non-potable water.
Yes, without saying. So the best time of day is about 7 o'clock in the morning or 6 o'clock in the evening. And well, the difference for me is whether the plants that you're watering get mold, are prone to fungus or mold, or, you know, like roses, don't water them in the evening because their leaves stay wet all night and you encourage diseases, whereas other plants don't seem to mind. So using roses as an example of plants that don't like having wet leaves. So any time between 6 and 7 in the morning and any time after 6 at night. And obviously, if no wind, if possible. Sometimes you just have to, but then again, take the water directly to the plant. Don't use overhead irrigation. Drip irrigation and just lying your rainwater hose or your grey water hose on the ground and letting it run out and soak in is a great way of watering efficiently.
Great advice. Thanks for the question. Keep them coming, please. Your SMS is to 31567. You're also welcome to pop me an email to pippah@capetalk.co.za. Shirley would like to know, in this drought, is it possible to keep my hanging baskets looking colourful and lush, or should I just accept defeat?
Oh, shame. You know, you get this wonderful product. There's actually two products now, possibly even more, but one is a kelp product that is linked to kelpack. And they're actually, it's crushed seaweed, but it absorbs a phenomenal amount of water and holds it like a sponge. And there's another product called Saturade, and probably a lot more that I'm not aware of. And they are water holding molecules and bits like crumble. Mm-hmm. You mix it in with the soil, so you'd have to repot all your hanging baskets, which is pretty much always a good thing to do every now and again. Work this in, and when you water, it holds onto the water so much better like a sponge. And it allows allows your hanging baskets to look good. And then just don't bake them in the sun. Try to choose areas and plants that tolerate semi-shade, because then they just don't dry out as badly in our wind and in our heat. And then during winter, you can go to full sun again.
Okay, Shirley, good luck. Sounds like you've got a little bit of work ahead of you there, but I hope it's worth it. Warren is moving home in February and asks on the SMS line for advice because he would like to take some of his favorite plants with him. Have you any tips?
Yes, to dig as much of the root ball out as possible after a good watering, and to wrap them all up in hessian or plastic packets and seal that root ball and tie a little knot around the top and keep them damp, and then transplant them into well-composted soil. And then unfortunately he is going to have to make a plan to water them until they have recovered. Another good thing is to then cut back some of the top growth because they've lost root growth, and it prevents them from wilting because they can't carry all those leaves when they don't have the same amount of roots to support them. So a prune and a covering of the roots.
Good luck, Warren. Hope it goes smoothly. Another WhatsApp in from Matt, who has recently built a veggie box and says, I'm looking to plant my first seedlings this week. What is best to start with? I obviously want to gain confidence with a veg that would work with a good success rate.
Oh, Matt, you have to try radishes, carrots and lettuce. They are the most rewarding things from seed. Just space them quite evenly. They can come up so tightly and so quickly. But I think I might be mistaken. A listener can always help me out if I'm wrong, but it's 2-3 days and you see seedlings coming up. So very rewarding.
The radishes in particular, and it is spectacular how fast they grow and how quickly they get big, and to pull them out and see a whole grown radish within a matter of literally days and weeks is fantastic. Yeah. So Matt, good luck to you. Okay, Kirsten asking, seeing as you were mentioning roses, when is the best time to plant iceberg roses?
Well, they're very tough. What a champion rose. I thought it's actually, in my mind, a water-wise rose.
Really?
But planting anything, I would recommend early spring, and then back through winter and autumn, of course. But in the heat of summer now, unless you've got a good source of non-potable water, I wouldn't be planting at all. It's time for deadheading. It's time for cutting back. It's time for enjoying whatever you did during spring and winter, but not to plant now if she can help it.
Charisse Viljoen is my guest in studio, horticulturist from Kirstenbosch Botanical Gardens. If you've got a question for her, please do give us a call on 021-446-0567 or leave us a voice note on 072-567-1567. Really interesting one here from Patrick, who emailed me during the week, Charisse, asking if I'd heard of something called ginger green, which I confess I had not, but I said I would ask you. He says, someone told me it's a kind of lawn that grows anywhere in any conditions, even shade, sun, poor soil, etc. It sounds too good to be true. Have you heard of it? My answer is no. What is yours?
Mine is that it's probably called wintergreen, not ginger green. And it is a combination of various grasses mixed up as, you know, seed. And so what you do is you sprinkle these grasses, the seed of numerous grasses, and one way or the other, they sort themselves out. So everything will germinate. The ones that don't like the shade kind of die off, and the shady ones survive, and the ones that don't like the sun die off, and I've got confused, but you know what I mean. Whichever ones are best suited to wherever you've sprinkled them, then survive. And they usually include a couch grass, which is a creeping grass. So it does quite well against your dogs and foot traffic. But seed sown lawns take time. You have to stay off them until they are very well established. And there's at least 2 or 3, if not more, cuts that you do where the grass looks lovely and you're cutting it, but you may still not go on it. You have to have a lot of patience.
Okay. Patrick, interesting one. Thanks so much, and good luck with the lawn. We've got a question that's come in as a voice note. Let's take a listen to that.
Hi, this is Andre here from Sandown. I was just wondering if I can grow a lettuce from a root, and what I mean is I've bought at one of the well-known retailers that sells the lettuce with the roots on it, and I was wondering, say I use off most of the leaves, if I will be able to put this root into the ground and grow it. Thank you for a great show.
Thanks, Andre.
Andre, I think that as long as you've left the little crown of leaves and you haven't damaged that growing point nestled within the base of the leaves, you should be able to have a resprout of leaf growth. But if it's pure root, almost just white root with no base, stem base, then you're not going to be very successful. Although you could prove me wrong, plant the root and say, ha, it did work. But from my horticultural knowledge, you need that leaf base. And with no leaves, you can have cut them all off. And as long as you're watering and feeding well, it would recover from that.
Interesting one, Andre. Thank you. You've reminded me of the man who phoned us last week saying he had tomatoes growing on his potato plant or vice versa. He has sent us some photographs, Charisse, and I'm going to have to pass them on to you by email to take a look at. I can't tell looking at the photographs which plant is which and what has happened, but there's a puzzle for you to unravel for us over the Christmas season and hopefully try and find an explanation as to how it could have happened in January.
I would really like to see seeing is believing, because I was like, send me a picture, I don't believe this. I think if he did, then it's for real. Oh, my word.
Okay, the photographs, my producer's just walked in with the photographs on her phone. So we're going to show them to Charisse and let her have a look at those in a moment. Just a reminder that if you're going to phone with a question, the number to dial is 021-446-0567. And I can see a couple of the lines lighting up now. Our producer will be with you in just a moment to take those calls. You're also welcome to send your question as an SMS to 31567. Letitia asking on the SMS line, Charisse, whether a protea will grow in a pot.
Yes, absolutely. You get quite a few of them that will tolerate it. Strangely enough, the king protea makes for an excellent pot plant. And a lot of the ericas, of course, not that that was the question, but they do particularly well. And I think just really the pincushions don't like it. They really outgrow it. They're just too restricted. But proteas and cone bushes actually do very well. So give it a go.
Okay, good luck, Letitia. You had a quick look at those photos. Were you able to tell from what you saw there briefly what was going on with that plant?
It literally looks like they have mixed each other, you know, they've grown so intertwined. And I know he said he's cut the stem open and it looks exactly the same as the sweet potato, but from a botanical point of view, the innards of stems do look very similar. They have a morphological similarity in that they have xylem and phloem. So
yes.
I'll look at them on the email and inspect them, you know, under the magnifying glass. But a quick look, I'm thinking, no, they've still kind of just grown from the same base. And now I'm starting to wonder what family tomatoes belong to, because that could also cause a bit of confusion. But I think they are different to the Solanum family, which is what a sweet potato should belong to.
Okay, we've given Charisse some good homework
I'm
to
puzzling.
Tackle over the holidays. We'll get you some feedback on that one in January. Let's go to the lines. Sherry and Takai, good afternoon.
Hi there, how are you doing?
Well, thanks, and you?
I'm good, thank you. I have a question.
Yes.
I'm not exactly sure what the exact name of the tree is or what kind of tree it is. I think it's a cypress tree. It's quite tall. It's about 14 years old. And this year, it just, the leaves all went brown, and I think it's slightly dead. I'm hoping it can be revived because I really like it.
Slightly dead. That's
Sherry.
A challenge.
I'm optimistic, guys, really.
Oh, I love the optimism, Sherry, and I'm so sorry to crush it, but most of the conifers that get that brownie death blight have been infected with this disease that is attacking them, and there is very little chance of recovery. If you would like something a little bit more hopeful, take off a side branch or a side leaf somewhere from the back where it wouldn't make it, you know, a hole, and take it down to your local nursery and ask them if, from all the complaints they must have received, do they have anything to recommend. But I think by the time it looks slightly dead, it's too late to recover it. Sherry, I'm so sorry.
No, guys, really, I am thinking that I can revive this tree.
Well, I challenge you to prove us wrong, Sherry, and send us a photograph when you've done so, okay?
I'm sending before and after pics, don't worry.
That's a deal. I like your optimism. Sherry, thanks for your call, Sherry and Takai.
I like that.
That is one way
that's
I really
Christmas
hope
spirit.
We'll be proven wrong, absolutely. Okay, let's go to Nana in Hout Bay. Nana, good afternoon.
Hi, Pippa. I've got some information about that ginger green grass.
Yes, please.
I actually, you know, I have a farm in the Tankwa, and I've found the seed on the internet, and some like a company in Natal that kind of what you call it quirks. They
propagate
the grass going. Propagate. That's the right word. Yeah, and I bought some, and we actually planted it in the Tankwa, which is one of the most arid dry places in the world. And we are feeding our sheep with it.
My goodness.
I don't know if it's the same one that you were referring to, because this one is pretty hardy.
Oh, it sounds amazing. And they've called it ginger green, not anything else. Ginger's the right word?
It was ginger green. And then I think when I bought the second batch, they had changed it to something like seed broth or something like that. I think maybe people were not, you know, getting the ginger side of it. Yeah. But it really is amazing. I mean, we've got very brackish water and we've got this arid soil and the grass grew and it's still growing.
Wow,
that's
fantastic.
Nana, happy sheep. What an absolute delight in the midst of the drought to have a solution. Thanks for sharing that with us, Nana in Hout Bay. We've got another voice note. Let's take a listen to that.
I have an issue at the moment where I've got wheat growing. I think it's wheat growing in between the grass. So it's causing us to mow the lawn faster than normal. Do you have a solution for this?
Unfortunately, wheat is the same brand of plant, for the best way to put it, as grasses. So there's no herbicide that you could use that would select just the wheat. And so it is a hand-pulling job.
Oof.
You have to hand weed it out, unfortunately.
Because whatever you put on there to kill wheat would also
kill grass.
Your grass.
Exactly. So you get parallel leaf plants and you get broadleaf plants and their actions can be different. And so you could spray the one and not harm the other. But unfortunately, in this case, you would harm both. So it's a job, a weekend job. Stress relief.
You've got a holiday season ahead of you. I hope if you have a few days off, you now have an activity to keep you busy. Thanks for the voice note. John on the SMS line would like your advice. He says our grass is dead. Any ideas on how to retain the soil until winter?
Yes, you can actually, it doesn't look all that wonderful, but you can put shade cloth down and you get various colors of shade cloth. You get a dark green or you get a black, and it's well worth it. And it's something that you can keep afterwards. I mean, I'm not sure how big your lawn area is, but certainly it's a lovely thing to use, and you can walk on it and it keeps the soil and sand from blowing into your house. And so that would be my advice, and it allows the water to still penetrate as well.
Okay, hope that helps you, John. Thanks for the query. Another SMS asking, what would happen if I cut my roses back now?
They would take a little bit of a knock. It's not really the right time to cut them back. This is where they're building up their stores of carbon and whatnot for the coming season. You could cut them back lightly, but otherwise, no, unless you really have to, don't. Or you could cut them back and I could be proven wrong and they can have a fantastic second flush of growth because they'll be determined to survive despite your actions.
Okay. Good luck, whoever that was who sent that SMS. One last call I think we can squeeze in from Mick in Somerset West. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm very fortunate to have boil water, but I've got a problem with my grass. I've got some patches of dead grass. Is that a sign of a bug in the grass, or could it be related to the water, which has got quite a bit of a high salt content?
No, you'd find...
iron content.
Mickey, you'd find if it was the water that your entire grass would suffer. Patches of damage are far more likely to be an insect, a mole cricket or a lawn cricket. And what you could do is just lay down a wet cloth at night. And in the morning, when you pick up the damp cloth, the culprits are often lurking underneath. And welcome any hottie-dars into your lawn. They will self-eat the pest for you. And it could be a fungal issue, but I doubt it because we're so dry. And then you can actually treat it with a fungicide with your borehole water.
Sorry, I'm passing under electrical wires.
No problem.
Okay, so we'll leave you to drive safely. Mick, thanks. I hope that advice helps you. Speaking of fungi, one last question in on the WhatsApp line. How to get rid of soil fungi?
Oh, that's impossible. The fungi live in the soil just as bacteria do. If there's something in particular killing a plant, treat the plant so that it can be more resistant to the attack from the fungus. And you can also just feed them up, and they often have self-protection methods. Most plants that look unwell are stressed in some way. So find the source of the stress, fix that, and then feed them up and they should be fine.
Cherise, wishing you good de-stressing in the garden this festive season. Thanks so much for being with us. Thanks for all your contributions this year. And we look forward to welcoming you back in 2018.
Thank you, Pippa. Have a wonderful break yourself. Well deserved.
Thank you so much. You too. Cherise Viljoen from Kirstenbosch.